Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, April 18th, and we're back with you as we roll towards the weekend. And Danny's back.
Rolling. After, how was yesterday without me?
After missing in action yesterday.
I know. I'm sorry. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was like one of those days I was like, nope, can't do it.
And it sucks because we had two guests who are hosts here.
Oh.
And I'd invited them once, and then what happened was you stayed over. You stayed a few extra days longer when you were in Chicago. You went back home.
Oh yeah, I went to Boston. I was gone for a whole week.
Right. So I had scheduled a thing with them, and then when you weren't coming, I stayed home that day, not remembering they were on the show.
Oh. So did they show up?
So they showed up, and Ronan calls me at 9:45. He says, are you coming? You guests are here. Fuck, man, I couldn't believe it. And they drive far, you know, like an hour drive. So I felt so bad. So then they agreed to come back. Another long drive, and now you weren't here.
Yeah, damn.
You know. But we had a great time.
What show do they host?
It's called The Grinds. It's two guys. They're really good friends.
Yeah.
And they're funny, you know, and people like to watch them. They have listeners, and people were watching this show yesterday commenting. So it was funny, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also funny when people come in here, they don't know how personal we're going to get to them sometimes.
Yeah. It's like they haven't listened before.
Right. And then their wives start commenting.
Oh.
And everything they say, you know?
Yeah.
It's better to never have your spouse listening to you.
Maybe it was better that I didn't show up yesterday then.
No, I've made it clear to all the women that I've been with, you know, you can't listen to the show, you know?
And we, I don't think we're that, like, them, raunchy.
Yeah. Mm. No, not about the raunchy, about the things that people reveal that they may not want to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, well. Probably didn't get fed dinner last night. It's fine.
Yeah, like you said something that I was forced into another baby or something.
Oh.
Or I'm being forced into have another kid. I don't know if I'm ready to have another one. So his wife wrote, like, forced, you know.
Oh, damn.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, it used to happen. It happened to another show here where the guy was married.
You know what? He needs to go Casey's see that show. Lady we had on the show the other day, because it sounds like they're heading to divorce court. So.
No, they're not. They're happy. I don't know what he was.
Maybe he was trying to be funny. And the joke just, like, kind of went downhill for him.
Probably, yeah. But no, I think she wrote LOL or something, so I think it was fine.
Okay, yeah. He was probably trying to pop a joke.
Yeah.
So
how are you feeling today?
I'm still tired.
Yeah?
Yeah, but let's
what
talk.
What happened yesterday?
I was just like, you know, one of those days where you're like, I need a mental health day. Like, I can't be around anybody. Like, I literally was like, even if I come to the radio show, I'm just not going to mentally be there, so I can't go. I didn't even go to my job yesterday at the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, I got it covered. Yeah, I was like, I need the day out. I need the whole day off. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Wow.
But I do want to talk about my flub. Who's my number one celebrity crush that I'm always talking about?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Oh, Leonardo.
Yes. Okay. So I went out.
Uh huh.
Motherfuckers, where I'm at.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, okay, this is my night. So my night, I'm going to talk to him. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him, I'm like, okay, how do I do this? What do I say? He's like on his phone playing Candy Crush. And all that came out of my mouth was, so that's how your night is going, huh? And he started laughing, which was like a segue for me to say more. And I got so awkward and so nervous, I walked away.
Yeah?
And I was like, I'm never going to see him again. I pulled another Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So you let it slip away.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you ended the evening up with him?
I mean, I wouldn't talk about it. It'd be a secret.
Sure, right?
Yeah. But I could talk about it because it definitely didn't end up with him.
Yeah.
That's all I said to him, and then I walked away.
Yeah. We talk about Leo DiCaprio, of course.
He's absolutely stunning in person, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's very, very beautiful.
So what are we going to do about you?
I don't know.
Well, maybe there'll be another opportunity.
Probably not.
He was already there twice, right? At your restaurant? Is that what
Both times I wasn't there.
Right.
But this wasn't at my restaurant. I was out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like at a party.
So you keep running into him?
No, I've never run into him before.
Oh, yeah, because you missed him at the restaurant. Yeah. Okay.
He's gone to my restaurant before. But
and you
just
went to a party?
And he was there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What and kind of party was that?
It was just like at a bar.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, why is he here?
And he had like his hat on and his hoodie up. So, but I like, that's a face like you obviously can see from across. I didn't even have my glasses on. I was like, there he is. There he is.
That is funny.
But everyone in there was like, I went in like, I went in jeans, Vans, and like a crop top that said babe. And like when I walked in there, it's a bar.
Right.
So I'm thinking everyone's going to be like dressed down, you know? Every chick was in like a mini dress, high heels. I was like, I did not get the memo for this place because I am totally dressed down. And I was like the only black girl in there.
Really?
Yeah. Dead ass. Only black chick.
Was where like, was okay. it? In Hollywood or something?
Yeah, somewhere in Hollywood, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's that possible, though, that you'd be the only black chick there? Yeah.
And I was, like, standing in front of this table, and I was, like, sipping on my tequila. Because, like, as soon as I got in there, I didn't notice him, obviously. I just went straight to the bar. And I don't know if it was because I was the only black chick, but I hate how I always sound conceited when I'm talking about this, but, like 15 dudes flocked to me. Like everyone was like, do you want a drink? I was like, I already have like five coming, but I'm good. So I'm like just like bubbling around, but like I went out by myself because it's just like I don't want to be around anyone except I want to be around people. Does that make sense? So I'm like walking around and I'm like standing in front of this table sipping my drink, and this beautiful chick, she's like a model, like 6 feet, was smiling at me. So I smiled back and she's like, how are you? I was like, I'm good. So then she like stopped smiling. She got out of her group. She goes, who exactly are you looking for?
Wow.
And I was like, I'm just sipping my drink, honey, and I suggest you sit the fuck down.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because one, the tequila's in my system. Two, I don't care how tall you are, I will fight you.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I realized to my right, he's sitting to my right. So she probably thought like I noticed him.
Right.
But I didn't notice him till like way after that.
Really?
But I was like, oh, I think that's another reason I got nervous talking to him, because I think like 500 girls
were doing the same thing.
We're doing the same thing, and I didn't want to be the 501st girl to be doing the same thing. So I just said something about the Candy Crush, and I kept it moving.
Yeah,
I just feel like I was the only chick in there that looked like me. So if I ever see him again, like I don't think you're gonna forget my face.
Maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, or you will.
Yeah, you know.
Justin maybe Bieber never forgot my face. He said hi to me every time I saw him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he says hi to everybody, no?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. You see, so you're memorable.
Yeah. I think so. I think I got a memorable face.
I can't imagine, though. I mean, I hate him because he's got... How can you sit there and have 500 women, probably all beautiful, trying to be with you, and then most guys can sit there and nobody even pays attention to them, you know, when you're not famous. So
no, that's
it's
not
pretty
true.
Depressing.
I feel like there's a lot of people he was with that weren't famous, but women were still flocking to them too. But I don't know if it's because they were with him. Yeah,
right.
That kind of sucks though. If that's who you are, like you can get these females, but you can only get them because they're trying to get to him.
Right. Exactly.
That sucks.
That really sucks.
Yeah. I mean, his friends were good looking too.
Yeah.
So it was a good-looking crew.
It just shows
crew.
You. That's why so many people try to make it in Hollywood. Because once you're famous, man, you feel like a king or a queen, you know?
No, he was really laid back.
Yeah.
He was talking to everybody. He didn't seem like a douche.
I know. But I mean, imagine when you're in demand like this. It's got to help your self-esteem.
It probably makes
it
easier to say no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
Well, yeah, you know.
I'm good, girl. Thanks.
You get to pick.
Yeah.
And they always end up with the most beautiful models, you know?
Yeah, like 6 feet and up.
Yeah.
I was definitely the shortest chick in there. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well,
I made a joke to the owner. I go,
your platform shoes next time.
I made a joke to the owner because the owner like gave me free tacos and like took care of me all night. And I was like, hey, did I miss the height requirement for tonight? Or... He started laughing. He goes, yeah, it's a bunch of giraffes in here.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that was my flub, so I could lose sleep over that.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe next time.
Maybe next time, if there is a next time.
Yeah.
Call me, please.
Yeah, Leo, please call her. First, he needs your phone number, though.
Yeah, I know.
Give him your handle on Instagram. That's good enough.
I don't think I'm his type. I'm too short and too round.
What's his type? Tall
models.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he's coming to the restaurant, I guess he's always with a model.
Well, yeah, because they can, you know? I mean,
yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, but I don't fit those requirements, Sam. I'm 5'1".
No, okay, but I'm explaining why they all have models and everything, you know? He used to be with Rafael Bar Rafaeli, who was the Israeli model, and she's like the most beautiful woman in Israel, period.
I guess he has a girlfriend now. Yeah. She's like 21. But really? She's a model, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's young.
Well, yeah, fresh meat, right? That's how they look at it.
Yeah, but I think she might have like her own establishment, so maybe it's like not a chick that's using him, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Even
if you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you really cheap.
I wouldn't use him.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll sign an NDA. No one will even know about us, boo. Let's go.
All right. Well, that laughter in the background, folks, is our guest for today, or our guest for today. And we always manage to entertain you, right, Desiree?
You always do. Well, you guys crack me up.
Thank you.
I want to go out and hang out with Danny.
Yeah.
She sounds
funny. It's not always like that. And I never go out. I just was like, I need to go out. I need to get out of my house. And I went, and then there he is. And I was like, oh, my God, this can't be happening.
Yeah.
And I usually have, like, I'm pretty good. I feel like I'm pretty good with the fellas. Like, I feel like I can get through a conversation.
Right.
I don't know how I couldn't get through that. It makes me nervous.
Right. It's because you thought too much. You know, if you just were being yourself.
Right.
That would have worked, you know?
Yeah, but it's hard to be yourself when there's like 5 million other girls literally standing in circles just waiting for their chance to say one word.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to be a groupie. I'm not a groupie.
Right.
That's one thing I'm not.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it reminds me of The Bachelor, you know? I mean, one guy, they have like, what, 30 women trying to get him. What is that?
Will you accept this rose?
Does it happen in real life, you
know?
No, yeah. Only with Leo.
Yeah, I felt very awkward. So that's probably another thing.
Yeah.
If it was like more like a different type of setting. Like, yeah, I feel like if it was a house party or something, it might be like a different vibe. But like, this was like outside on the sidewalk outside of a bar.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, it really is.
And I like, I'll ride your dick, but I'm not going to dick ride you. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, let's segue to our guest.
I'm totally kidding you guys.
Desiree was thinking, oh, we got away without a dick bomb here.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Making sure you guys are awake.
Yeah, exactly.
Our guest is shook. She's shook.
Exactly. Now it's okay. Now we Christian her into the show. All right. Well, if you're on Facebook, or even if you're not, you can get there. Go to LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and you can see us sitting around the table having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And so the voice you heard, first of all, was Desiree, and she's here from Chateau.
Black Chateau. Yeah.
I knew something was missing there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And tell us real quick before we get to Tara, what it is that you do, Desiree.
I do PR and marketing for authors.
Oh, okay.
Tara is one of my lovely, talented authors brought to you today.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show, Tara.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course. Tara Botel Doherty. Am I saying that correctly?
Perfect. Yes.
Awesome. So you're an author, and I imagine you lived here. I mean, grew up here in LA, right?
Yes, I'm a native of Los Angeles, Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, Hollywood girl. Yeah.
Try to get a little closer with the chair, and then you don't have to lean in so much and pull it.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And I'll turn up your mic a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there we go. All right. So, Tara, an LA native. And
hence the book title, Growing Up Hollywood.
Yes. Thank
you. I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be asking, are you visiting here?
No.
Are you on a book tour or something somewhere else? Yeah. You can never assume anything.
No,
I
now.
Know,
yeah. No, not with this week. I feel like everyone's been like either here or not, you know?
No, is the book fiction or nonfiction?
It's a collection of short stories, fictional short stories.
Fictional stories.
Yeah, about two
So you
sisters.
See, she didn't have to grow up in Hollywood to write this
correct.
Book, you know?
I could just look
but
correct.
It's not a biography, but I bet it's influenced a lot by you growing up here.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's
so it's first-hand experience kind of
thing. Yeah, it is Hollywood in the 1970s, 80s.
Really?
Yes. Oh, there we go.
Were you here?
I was here.
Yeah.
Okay, here. So you know
in
the
fact,
glamour.
In fact, I arrived, that's when I grew up, 70s and 80s, you know? Yeah, so I remember the time I wasn't involved in Hollywood. I was more like just here. Let me see. In the so you were talking 70s. So I was in my teens, my late teens, and and then early 80s and stuff. It was a great time for music, for right? I mean,
yes.
Sunset Strip was like the place to be.
Right.
Right? And even Van Nuys Boulevard, I think, was a place where people cruised and stuff, you know, right?
That's down here, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So a lot of interesting stuff, right? So tell us a little bit, where in Hollywood well, not where the house is, but I mean, was it on the hills?
So was it the bottom of the foothills? It was just up from the boulevard, like Highland and Hollywood, that area.
Really?
That canyon
so right
area.
In the heart.
Yeah, a little near Outpost. Up, they call it Whitley Heights now. Uh-huh. Yeah, everything's named in Hollywood now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they need to know where to go, I guess,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So that's cool. And do you have any siblings?
I have one. I have a sister.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was my sister Amadea. She actually took care of me and blazed the trail for me, and she went on these adventures that are based on the
really?
Short story collection. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Adventures,
that's
huh?
like me and Gabby.
Yes. There we go.
Me yeah. and my sister. Yeah. I feel like I'm the one taking the adventures and just telling her about it.
Yeah.
Shit went down.
She lives through you.
Yeah.
Right. There you go. Very interesting. So did you guys, were you close growing up? Is she older or younger?
Yes, she's older, and she was the one who took care of me, and we'd go down to the boulevard and just
really?
Do things. Yeah.
What does it mean, take care of you? Did you not have your parents around?
Our parents were kind of busy.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like a time when, remember in the old days, when
right.
they actually said, hey, just come back.
Right.
Right?
True.
Oh, my God.
Now you can't seem to get the children out of the house, right? No
right.
offense, Riley. My daughter. Yeah. Right now, they're just always watching videos or YouTube.
Right, right.
Right. In the old days, it was like, come back before it's dark.
Right,
We'd
right.
We'd like to see you again. And you'd run off on your adventures.
Yeah, but do you notice that back in the days, like the 70s and 80s, there was way more like serial killers and shit? I think his parents didn't really care.
No, come on.
Yeah, I'm serious. Dude,
come
back
on.
In the day.
That's not true.
Am I wrong,
I
though?
So.
Yeah,
70s and 80s, there's way more murders.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she would know. She watches all these criminals.
Yes,
shows.
I do.
Oh, I do. I do.
I love it.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to argue with that. Okay.
Like, if you watch ID Network, every single documentary is based in the 70s.
Really?
Where they had, like, the Farrah Fawcett hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, their missing picture was just, like, their high school yearbook picture.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, back in the day, people were not checking on their kids, and there was no cell phones either.
But
no.
But wait a minute. This was pretty safe. I don't. Maybe there were a couple more famous killers, whatever it was. But I'm telling you, when I came here, I was 16 years old.
Right.
I landed in Las Vegas. So that's where I grew up in the 70s.
And Vegas was actually pretty dangerous.
It wasn't back then at all. I mean, we'd go have parties in the mountains with girls and guys. And, you know, you just pick up anybody cruising on the streets.
Yeah.
Telling you.
Hop on in, girl.
Exactly. And nobody was afraid. It was normal.
Now it's like if somebody says that, you're like, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a totally different world.
Yeah.
But Tara, it's a different world today.
Yeah.
It is, and it was interesting because in one of my vignettes, it is about the Hillside Strangler.
Oh,
really?
Okay, yes, and the one thing I remembered the most was going to Blessed Sacrament. That
What's
school.
That?
It's a church in Hollywood.
Right.
We had a school. They blessed our necks to make sure that we were safe from the Hillside Strangler.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was
He
like,
killed, like, how many people? Like 20 or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
And he never got caught, did he?
Oh, they did. They were two cousins.
Really?
Hillside Strangler, yeah.
I think they did a movie on this.
Yes, multiple.
Yeah. So
what,
funny.
Do you remember what
not,
years
not
that
happened? Not
funny
that they died.
No, I remember the late 70s.
Yes, yeah.
I think it was the late 70s.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I lived in Vegas, so I didn't know that much about what's going on here. But I would come in and drive down here.
Right.
And I remember L.A. was different, you know? I mean, that's one thing about it I remember. Because Vegas was like my first experience in this country, right? As far as living and stuff. So I realized people are pretty friendly, you know, very open and stuff. And every time I would go, you know, like girls would check me out and stuff like that. Doesn't happen much anymore, but that's okay. I don't.
Or you're not paying attention.
I don't look for
and
it
you also
anymore.
Don't go out, so.
Yeah, but that's true. But no, I remember coming to L.A. It felt like all the girls were like, just stuck up, you know?
And they still are, so.
Yeah.
Not much has changed
but,
there.
But I felt it was different, you know, already then. And I thought, I don't know if I could live in L.A., you know? People kind of ignore me, you know? I'm used to being seen, you
know?
So that was kind of, because it's also like a small town in a very big city.
Right.
That you're comparing, you know? So, yeah. So, nice. What high school did you go to?
I actually went to, well, I graduated from John Marshall High School in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually went to a private girls' school over here in Studio City. It
really?
Was called Corvallis, Our Lady of Corvallis. which actually went out of business when Notre Dame went co-ed.
Oh, really?
All the girls, because this was our brother school. We all had to flock to the school
right.
for yeah. dances and to be cheerleaders and for games. Why? So the minute they opened it up to girls, everybody was out of there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I mean, school, I would never go to an all-girls school. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
right?
8 hours a day of all females, I'd be like, blow my head off.
Well, there were male teachers, and when the firemen came to campus, let me tell you, everybody was at the windows.
Yeah, I feel like if girls are at an all-girls school, they're probably sexually active earlier.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like you're with females like all day, curious. So when you see a guy, you're like... You know, I just feel like
it was a different time.
My parents used to threaten me to put me in an all-girls school all the time. I was like, I dare you.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Because my mom was like, I'll send you to Ramona Convent if you don't behave.
What's that?
It was a girls' school boarding school on the backside of L.A.
Boarding school.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah. Boarding school, you have to have like troubles, right? Yes. Like everyone in boarding school has issues.
We just said no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They threatened to put me in all girls school and boarding school a couple of times. I was like, you're never going to do it.
Yeah, not you.
No.
Can't contain you in the school like that.
I'd drop out. I'd run away.
Yeah.
True. No, I wouldn't because it's like scary out here. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you going to go?
I basically ran away to San Jose. I got on a bus. I took a bus for 4 days from Boston to L.A. with 99 cents in my bank account. I just came here with no plan and moved in with a complete stranger from MySpace. Yeah. No, we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah.
This way is already, hey, we got a book here.
There it goes.
Yeah. I literally think I can make my life a movie. I just need to find like the husband and have the kids so it has a happy ending now. Because there's like no ending right now.
Okay, that's fine. That's an autobiography.
Leonardo.
Yeah. Maybe I'll notice you with a book, you know? Yeah. Yeah, call it Seeking Leonardo.
No, I would never.
No.
No, that's not like a, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Hey, I got to meet him. Like, I got to have like 5 seconds of a conversation.
Exactly.
Life goals.
You get to sample some of his energy.
Yeah, he's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Back cool. to you.
Back to you. Okay. So listen, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Tara Botell Doherty, and she wrote a book called Grown Up Hollywood. And so this is what? One story, collection of stories I see, right?
Yeah.
A collection. Collection of short stories. You wrote all of them, though?
Yes.
Over what period of time did you write them on?
Well, the truth be told, it's a good 20 years.
Really?
Because I was going to the USC Master of Professional Writing.
Right.
And I was using this as my thesis, and then I was told it was unacceptable.
Really?
So I actually turned around and wrote a book in 3 months that ended up being my first book, my novel, Bread for the Table.
Bread for the Table.
Yeah, that's my first book, yes.
Oh, so. Okay. And what was that about?
That's about a woman growing up in Echo Park and finding out that the family secrets end up actually controlling us in the end and finding her own personal freedom.
Wow.
Jeez, sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Okay, call me. Let's do it.
Yeah, right. Put it in a movie script.
Yeah.
When did you realize you wanted to write fiction?
I actually, first grade, I remember I was in Hollywood at Bethany Lutheran, my elementary school, and I was sitting there writing my first book.
Really?
Yeah, with my my best friend, Judy Remsky. Now, Judy Tobar, yes, we were writing.
Are you guys still best friends?
No. Damn. We're Facebook friends. Well, she's down there in San Diego County, Orange County.
Yeah, that's far, yeah.
But I still see all of her dog postings. She had the ideal life. I loved her life.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you realize that... when you grow up, the people you used to hang out with, they're not the same anymore, and you're not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly you go, okay, at the time, it was appropriate to be their friend.
Right.
Now, we're so different and so distant that who cares, right?
But I also think that like when you, and I don't think children realize this, and I don't think parents really realize it either, but like when you're growing up, the people that are around you really shape who you are.
Right.
As like when you get older, like for instance, in high school, I was friends with all white girls, and my parents never gave me the conversation of like, hey, you're half white and you're half black. So I always identified with white, but then I feel like I lost myself and I lost like 10 years of my life.
Wow.
I didn't realize who I was until like college.
Yeah.
But all those people that I met along the way, I don't even know what they're doing. And like at the time, you're like, I love them so much. They're going to be in my life forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. That's teenage friends. That's
how it
is.
Yeah. But then there's some people where you meet and you're like, we've been friends since like middle school. I'm like, how the fuck are you guys still friends?
Yeah. Well, if you grow up together and you mature together, then you can keep that bond, you know.
Right.
But
like your friend, you said she had the ideal life. What does that mean?
Her dad worked on the Tonight Show. He made these little, he made dollhouses. He was a carpenter. And he actually made her a life-size dollhouse, and he made me a dollhouse for my 8th birthday.
Aww.
It had wall-to-wall carpeting, and wallpaper was mitered. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, but the sad thing was, I thought her life was perfect.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't. She said the minute we left that her dad started yelling, and that she never had children, because she wouldn't bring them into the world, because she had an unhappy childhood.
Wow.
Oh, my. See, that's why you can never judge a book by, like pictures.
What you think is perfect is, like, yeah. No.
Wow, that's terrible.
And if you ever watch Criminal Minds, they say that, I'm being serious, I just watched this episode last night before I went to bed. There was a dads that are like perfect on the outside, but they're like murderous psychopaths at home, but they protect their children. It's really weird. But I learn a lot of stuff from these shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if my husband ever starts acting sketchy, I'm going to take the kids. I'm getting the fuck out of there.
That's true. You all learned some strategy there.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, so you have no idea what she was going through
at
home.
That scares me. Yeah, that Criminal Minds show. Because you just
said, yeah, but it's good.
Yes.
But now she only has dogs, so she's a dog mom.
But yeah, but she loves it. She's
Is she married? Did she ever married?
She did. She got married young. She got married. She's been married like 30 years.
Oh, damn.
Very young.
And he never wanted kids, huh?
No.
I guess you got to marry someone like that's on the same wavelength as you. Yeah.
Well, good for her. She's happy.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So at a very, very young age, you decided you're going to write books. During school, did you keep like a diary or like a journal when you were growing up?
No. We could know, and I should have. Can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, I know.
Published all of them.
I could have. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But because sometimes I wonder, but I guess it's not a biography what you wrote, but I guess usually you go, how can people remember what they said and what other people said to them at certain ages when they were younger? But many people do keep diaries and journals, and, you know, it's all there. So, but this all came out of your head, right?
Yes, it did.
Wow. So, now tell us about the stories. I mean, how are they all related? Because it's about growing up in Hollywood, I guess, it is.
But it's not so much about the celebrities, it's about the every people.
Right.
People that live in Hollywood, and it's about the encounters, kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
Hollywood. And at this time, you could still walk around, you know, semi-innocently, but she has some encounters.
Right.
These two sisters. Uh-huh. And it's starting off, the short story collection starts off a trilogy where the sisters are going to end up, you know, running into trouble and, you know, like up Beechwood Canyon and out in Santa Monica, you know, all these places we went to growing up because this is what we
so
did.
You mentioned those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it takes you back, you know, that's pretty cool, actually.
So when you say short stories, so it's like, is every chapter like just, for example, does chapter one tie in with chapter three, or is every chapter like just a different story that happened to them? Well, but it's the same two people.
Well, so it started out that way when I was at SC. But then coming back, I had to figure out how would I build the relationship.
Right.
So it actually starts out with the parents. Each one of the opening short stories, the first two, is about the parents before they became parents.
Mm.
The parents when they were young. Mm. So my first story is called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right. That's cute.
It was and it's talking about her, the mom, and like ultimately what experiences kind of closed her off and made her a bad mom.
Right.
And then the dad talking about his background, you know, how he came in.
Right.
And, you know, I've workshopped a lot of this, but I mean, the dad, how when he saw her, he knew that she was the girl for him.
Right.
And then he was in the Navy and he was older, but she was still in like the 8th grade, but he knew that was the girl for him.
Whoa.
I love
on.
Those stories.
Hold on a second. 8th grade.
8th grade, but never, he just saw her from a distance.
And that how was old it. Was he?
He was 18.
What a creep.
Oh, people say that.
But wait a minute, at that age? Why?
Yeah, 8th grade, you're like 13, 14. Bro, if an 18-year-old is checking me out at that age...
Well, I thought we were talking 16 and 18, no?
8th grade, you're not 16, dude.
No, you're about 14.
Yeah.
Oh, 8th grade, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
And he's 18? Yeah. There's no way. I don't even think I got breasts till I was like 16.
Yeah.
Well, honestly.
Yeah, well, the 70s were a lot more liberal than now.
Yeah.
Hence why there was more murders and more rape.
Oh, my God.
And serial killers.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That sounds like he saw her from a distance. That just sounds like.
But he didn't see her again for another like 8 years.
Okay, that's good. So she's grown up.
Yeah, they're all grown. Okay. Yes. Okay.
But
don't,
that the title
don't
of
try
her...
to make you sound like a pervert that she's
no,
mad.
No, it's a book. It's fictional. You can still give your opinion. Because exactly. Even when I was reading, if I read this book, I'd be like, I'd be thinking it. But the title of your first chapter, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, sounds like it could be a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it could
be. Like, it's very catchy.
Yes. Well, we know Quentin Tarantino's coming out with his Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, and guess who's in it? Baby Daddy.
It all comes back. Yeah. Circular.
Yes. Isn't that weird? Oh, and it's funny because on my way out, I was in the Uber, and some guy was like, yeah, I just, the other day, I was, like, dropping, like, five different people off at this one party at this celebrity's house. And I go, oh, who's the celebrity? And they said Leonardo. I go, yeah, I have a feeling I'm going to meet him tonight. Joking. Then I met him. And then now the title of your first chapter is his new movie.
And
it's all coming together.
It is, because he used to come into the Dresden when I worked in there in graduate
What's
school.
What's that?
The Dresden is a bar restaurant on Hollywood in Vermont.
Never even heard.
No, famous for the Marty and Elaine.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it was the movie in Swingers.
In What's Swingers?
Swingers with John Favreau. Oh, no, about how they came. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn. Oh, Vince Vaughn, yeah. What happened to him? Movie.
I don't know.
He did like True Detective around, and like disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
He got married and had kids.
So he's a dad now.
Up in locking out of Flint Ridge.
Yeah.
So you know where they live and everything?
Well,
too?
Yeah, because I think his wife is a real estate agent and it was saying something in the real estate section.
They probably met while she was showing a house. Yeah.
Checking property.
I need
values.
To get into real estate.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you're the wrong market.
I would be really good at selling the house. I'm like, so you going to get it or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Come on, you piece of shit.
Yeah. Let's make a deal here, bud. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So cool. So, and then, you were growing up and stuff. You went, did you go to college?
I did. I went to Loyola Marymount.
Which is
out near the airport.
Right.
And the beach. And I went to graduate school at SC.
Really?
Yeah. I had to stay local.
Very good. And you actually earned it, right?
Yeah.
Getting into the school.
Yes. You had to have talent to get in there.
Yeah.
You know what the headlines are this morning? That both Lori Loughlin and her husband never enrolled in USC. They claimed that they were actually they went into USC themselves. But apparently he took the money, the parents' tuition cash, and never enrolled in USC. And been walking around all this time saying that he had graduated from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's bold.
I guess to me, I'm just like, who cares? Like, I don't think I've ever had like a long conversation about where I went to college or what I like. Right. It's just not like no one gives a shit. So it's like, why would they spend millions of dollars trying to get their kids? Their kids didn't even want to go to school.
That's the thing.
They like tweeted like
kids weren't doing that good at school. And so like, this was a way to get them a halfway decent education.
Yeah, but it's like
because they couldn't have done it on their own.
I know, but like one of them's a model, I guess, and there's a video of her that went viral after all this went out, and she's like. Yeah, like, I really don't even like college. I'm just going for the parties. And it's like, your kids don't even want to go, dude.
Exactly, and you're forcing them
to live a life they don't even want to live.
Exactly,
like,
to school they're not eligible or qualified to get into.
It's like they want to live vicariously through their children, so they're forcing their kids to do what they didn't have.
It's status, I'm telling you, it's bragging rights.
So they can
status.
Go to their little, like, golf clubs and be like, yes, my daughter's in USC.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now she ain't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No more.
And you're about to be in county jail, honey. Not the jail. I mean, not the county golf club. So that sucks. I just would never. It's just like all that money you could have like, I don't know. It's just weird. That should be in growing up Hollywood because that got them twisted.
Well, we could try maybe developing ourselves first. And
right.
Your college is just a fun time.
Right. Yeah. Like when I went to college, I mean, I will say college to me was a waste of money because I did nothing with my degree, but I kind of learned where I stood socially in college. Like, I think that's where I learned, like, I have a personality that's actually not really good for college.
Right. So like, that was worth it.
Yeah. So at least I got that. But, like, then I see my sister who dropped out, like, her freshman year. She just knew it wasn't for her. She got no debt. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, well, that debt is. But you know what? The thing is, I keep saying you can still get education without creating such debt for yourself.
Right, right.
You know?
You can literally do it online, but online classes are actually more expensive than I feel like being
No, but there's something in between. You can go to schools that are...
Like community college.
Yeah.
People look down on that.
Even CSUN, Cal State Northridge, you know? Right. I mean, you only pay for the tuition, the books. You don't have to be rich.
Books are ridiculous, though. Yes. Like right. $150 for a math book. I'm
right,
like,
right.
What?
But today you can take them back, buy used ones, all that stuff.
Yeah,
so
they have like websites and stuff like that. But right, even at that, like people are keeping the books and selling them online for like double what they are like in the regular store. I'm like,
I know, it's crazy.
Everyone's out here trying to hustle. Yeah.
But
you know?
It's all supply and demand. I mean, that's why they don't print a lot so they can jack up the prices like that. Yeah. And people have to have it. It's like what they call an inelastic demand.
Right.
It's like no matter how much you charge, people are still going to buy it.
Right. Yeah. Because they have to. You have no choice. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, we're talking to Tara Botel Doherty, who grew up in Hollywood, wrote a book about growing up Hollywood.
Well, that's fictional. Now,
right. But the characters here are two women, right?
Two sisters.
Yes.
Okay. How old are they in the book?
One's 14.
What, about 7 and 11.
Oh, damn. 7 or 11. Oh, the mom was 14.
Yeah, this is yes.
Gotcha.
So it's about 7-Eleven, and so they're growing up in Hollywood, just seeing the people, being observant, you know,
right,
kind of the beautiful people who get lost on the streets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do they have get into romance and things like that themselves?
You know what? This one, the older sister, Annie, ends up having like a girl crush on these two older girls. Remember when you were younger?
Yeah.
And you always liked the girls who were cooler.
Right.
And then she kind of follows them, and that's going to lead into that's going to lead into the first story of the trilogy. Mm. But currently, she just kind of, they're in Hollywood looking at the people and hanging out and figuring out who they are. But they're young.
Yeah, they're very young. So they still have a lot to learn.
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Like 7 is very young.
It is.
I don't remember what I was doing at 7.
But you think 7 was young? 7 now is like
young.
11.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're very mature. I know because I have she's soon to be 14.
Right.
And sometimes I think she's like 20.
Yeah.
She tells me, put the phone down, Mom, when I'm driving. Put the phone down, Mom.
Well, that's good, though. That's good. Like,
yes, ma'am.
Is she doing her drive? Is she practicing for her driver's permit yet?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, 1 year, right?
Yeah, a year.
One more year, she's going to be hitting that road. But that's good. At least you know she's going to be responsible.
Yeah, go to the store. Go get something.
Exactly.
Don't ask me to take you anywhere anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's got to be nerve-wracking when your kid starts driving.
But you know, this generation, many of them are not eager to drive. You know, it's like they wait a long time beyond 16, you know. My son was just dying to be 16 so he could drive.
Same.
But my daughter waited till she was maybe 18.
Really?
Yeah. Before she finally decided, you know what, I'll drive.
I hit a car on my driver's test and I still passed.
Really?
I literally hit a car.
Really?
Yeah, the guy was a creep, though. I guess he got locked up like a year later for like being like a creep. I'm being serious. Yeah, I hit a car. I'm like, I should. My dad was shaking his head in the rear view because your parents got to be in the back seat. He's like, literally. I look at him. I'm like, I didn't pass. And then they gave me my driver's license, and I was like, I'll take it.
How'd you hit the car?
That's what funny. Happened?
I went to go park, and there was like a truck in front of me, and I just hit the truck when I parked. And I just looked at the guy, and I was
so
like,
"So it was your fault?
Oh, 110%.
Well, of course,
110% my fault.
Of course,
yep. Definitely my fault. I think
funny.
How much trouble can you get in if you start, like, if you take your kid at like 6 or 7 to drive around in your car? They're tall enough. I want my kids to like start driving like at 10.
You do?
Yeah, because
do
if they
a private driveway or a private lot. Because it's private and you don't need a driver's license for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because,
at 10 though?
Yeah, like if I'm like having a heart attack or something, my kids got to know how to drive.
So you think about these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not able to reach the pedals, are they?
I mean, when I was 14 and I got my driver's license, I used to have to get like I used to have to sit on two pillows just to see over the dashboard.
Right, yeah. And then your legs may be too short.
Yeah, and I had to like scoot it all the way up. So, I mean, there's ways.
I just want
my kid to, and just so by the time they
look at the things you think about. How often do you get a heart attack in your car?
I'm a fucked up individual, man.
Yes, you are.
All this criminal minds, man. It's all this criminal minds and Law and Order.
She watched too much fucking TV.
I just think of all the worst case scenario. Not only that, I think by the time, if I start them young, by the time they get their license, they're like, it's as if they've been driving for 10 years, so I don't have to worry as much. Right. Like my parents only trained me for 6 months before I got my driver's permit. That's not enough time to like really know how to use a vehicle like a car.
That's true. Yeah.
So if I start training them at like 10, 6 years of practice, they're going to be professionals. I don't have to like stay up at midnight wondering if they're going to get home safe.
Yeah, but all I can tell you is way before they're 16, they probably already steal a car and drive it because, I mean, your car maybe or but... and they'll want to drive. They're not going to wait and drive in parking lots till they're 16 years old.
I'd rather that than them not know. They can get their ass whooped when they get home.
Well, whatever, man. So what age did you start driving?
16.
Yeah.
16. So that was the big thing. Back in the day, you could actually have under 16, you know, young with you, teenagers.
Right.
We ruined it for these kids now. They have to wait till they're 18 to have younger 16-year-olds with them.
Yeah, like, you have to drive by yourself till like 18. Yeah,
we're like, welcome. We finally did something.
Right.
But, you know, it's amazing. Do you remember that in the 70s, they would have smoking areas in the high school for students that smoked? Do you remember that?
No.
In Vegas, it was like that.
Not when I was a kid.
Oh, so here it wasn't like that.
No.
Because I went to high school in Vegas 11th and 12th grade.
Yeah.
No, they had smoking areas, and all the students would go there. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
In all the schools in Vegas.
Yeah, not in my high school. No.
In the 70s, you know, it was normal for everybody to smoke, you know.
I don't even remember people smoking in college. I don't even remember walking by anyone that smoked in college. I'm sure they did, but I just never saw it yet.
Mm-hmm. How long ago were you in college?
Oh.
6 years ago? More, right?
No, more. 2010.
Maybe eight. Years ago. So, people were still, you know, already not smoking that much.
Yeah. So how many books have you written?
Two. The novel and the short story collection.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So let's hear about the novel for a moment. Tell us a little bit about Bread for the Table.
Bread for the Table is a novel about, it's a come of age story about a young woman who realizes everything she knew about her family isn't the way it is.
Really?
She was raised by a grandmother and a dad who never talked. And then she left her mother.
Right.
And she finds out that her mother didn't leave her. They told the mother to go.
Wow.
And that the grandmother and then she had a younger sister who ended up being killed around Echo Park. She was run over when she was running for a Lotus. And so this whole thing is woven together as a story, you know, bread for the table. It's a metaphor for the things we have to do in life to get through and succeed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So Sage and her story. It's a great story. I enjoy it. It would been put away for 20 years.
Right.
And actually, I was at my day job and somebody said to me, what are you going to do when Riley graduates and goes off to college? I'm like, you mean I can't go with her?
Right.
And so this was like, okay, I better get my own career going back again.
Right.
Yes. My husband still thinks he's going with her.
Yeah.
Like to Stanford or wherever she's going.
Right.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah. No.
Stanford. Okay, now.
Yeah. Well, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good school.
Well,
that's
she's a volleyball player. So it's the number one team in the
nation. Right.
We don't care
volleyball,
about academics.
Girls that are volleyball players always have really nice bods. You notice that?
Well, they're athletes.
Yeah.
They work out.
Yeah, but every time they do, what's that thing where they do it every year and they show it on the beach?
Beach volleyball.
Yeah. But it's like kind of like the same.
Yeah, but
right?
Inside they do. They wear those booty shorts.
Yeah, but they wear the bikinis during the beach one.
And even in the Olympics, they wear those bikinis.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's very distracting. Yeah. No one is paying attention to anything.
It is, you know? I mean, look at that ass jumping around.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so who knows? You know, but it's true.
Good for her. That's a hard sport, but I used to love when they used to say it was volleyball day at gym in gym class. I sucked at it, but it was
really
fun.
It was a fun game. Yeah. Very cool. So we only have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask, how can people find you? How can people find out more about you? I see you have a website.
I do. I do have a website, www.tarabotelldoherty.com.
Okay.
I am also I'm on Twitter as Tara B. Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook as Tara Botel Doherty. And let's round it out with Instagram.
Yeah.
As Tara Botel Doherty. Yeah.
There you go. And there's not many people that have this name, I'm sure. If they just Google it.
Yes.
You'll come up, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how does the name, why do you have two last names?
Because I married the Doherty.
Oh, you married
Mr. Doherty, and I was the...
He's Irish?
He's Irish. Yeah. He was, I married where you just tack it on to the end.
Right.
And, but I was always Tara Botel, and I was always Tara No-Tell Botel, because I never, that's why all the stories are new in
here. Yeah, right.
I no tell anybody what's going on.
Right, right, right. I tell everything.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
I'm a tell-all.
Yeah. So, very cool. And the group, the book is Grown Up Hollywood. Is that out? I see the official release is next month, right?
Yeah, the official release, but it is available on Amazon.
It is?
It is available.
Okay, so go out and get the book. Leave a couple of good reviews. It never hurts to ask, you know?
Yeah. No, it does. Yeah, mm-hmm. Please, because, indie writers, we need the reviews.
Do reviews really help? When course, on your book on the Amazon?
Oh, it does.
I think a review helps with everything you sell.
Yeah. I haven't even looked. I self-published a book like in January. Yeah. No, I published it on Valentine's Day, and I haven't even been on to see if anyone has even left a review. I know. I kind of just published the book just to publish it because I've been talking about it for so long, but I didn't do it just because I think I'm like an author, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But she took a stab at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to look it up and see. Maybe someone give you good reviews.
Yeah, yikes.
Who knows?
Or bad ones.
But you know what? Even the bad reviews are good.
Yeah, as long as they're leaving one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said in my writing with my bread for the table, this is such a sad story. I wish you'd use humor. I was like, oh, I'm actually the funny girl at the party. So
yeah.
I did a good job then.
There's like a one chapter in my book that's about like my abusive relationship. And I threw some humor in there because that's just like what I do. Like when I'm uncomfortable, I throw like a joke or two. But I also felt like it was kind of inappropriate that I put humor in that chapter.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's going to be a hit or a miss.
Oh, it's true you. No.
But you should like think about putting that book into a Lifetime movie because it sounds very dramatic.
I have another volleyball mom. She's a producer on a show. She was like, when do we
maybe
start?
Have like a murder in it or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because like literally, I'm not kidding. Like all I do on Sundays is I wait for Psycho Lifetime because every Sunday they play Psycho movies. It's all about like Psycho bitches on Lifetime. And I'm like, that sounds like it really has the potential to be, because everyone likes a family secret. But you got to like throw like a murder or something.
I'm going Hallmark Channel. That's it.
Hallmark Channel. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. I actually have a meeting at a talent agency tomorrow before I go to work. Yeah, at 2:00 because I'm trying to get into acting, but I really want to just hit the Hallmark and Lifetime network.
Yeah.
Because like I don't think I'm going to be like, I'm definitely not going to be in like a Hollywood film, but I feel like I could do Hallmark. Like I want to do the Christmas movies.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I could just watch myself all season.
Yeah. There's a goal. Now you got a goal. Nice.
Oh man! Yeah. And I want to. My goal is I'm speaking into existence. I'm gonna play a psycho in a Lifetime movie. That is my goal. I just want to do it.
You can do it,
and I can do it in your film once you write it.
Crazy girlfriend.
Yeah,
that's your role.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up. Just Desiree, real quick, tell us how can people find you? How they can come to you, get their book promoted, and become big, like all these great people you bring.
Yes, please.
It's easy. BlackChateauEnterprises.com is the website. And we're on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm on Twitter as well. So you can find us. We're all over the place. Just look up Black Chateau.
That's true. And you also write your own books, too, mm-hmm. under a pen name. Okay.
Yeah. But she's not going to give her pen name.
Exactly.
That's for another show.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's a shh. So on that note, folks, we're not going to go there today.
Nope.
Yeah. And but I just want people to know that you're multi-talented and, mm-hmm. yes. and you're amazing. Now, Black Chateau, how did you get the name?
Actually, my nom de plume, her last name is Black, and I've always liked the power behind black and that color.
Mm-hmm.
And that book is set at a chateau in France, so I just kind of mashed that up to come up with the name of the company.
Yeah. Do you have something about France that you feel a certain connection to it?
I do. I'm connected to that place. Yeah. I don't know if it's a past life thing or...
Right. Yeah, have you been?
I've been. And it was like one... You know how you get those shivers where you just feel like you've been there before?
Right.
Like
really?
Deja vu over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
It was crazy.
I've never been, but I do want to go. At once.
Every young woman should go to Paris.
Yeah.
Hands down. That's a rule.
Some guy wants to bring me to Barcelona.
Yeah?
He's really hot. He's got like 3 million followers on Instagram. Good, but I wouldn't go unless it was like... At least three of us going. Yeah. Like at least three girls. Yeah. Yeah. That's too long of a flight to just go and meet a stranger.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever. I mean, she'll go after guys anywhere in the world.
I only went to Chicago. I went to one state.
Yeah, but you'd go to other places too.
Oh God, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, all right. Ladies, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Amazing. Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
And much continued success to you. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.